Welcome to Legal Talk with Attorney Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Auto accidents, DUIs, slip and falls, each one can change your life. But the trial-tested, trial-ready attorneys at Flesh and Beck Law relieve your legal burden. Whether you need to heal from an injury or protect your future in a criminal matter, the legal team at Flesh and Beck Law is prepared to defend your rights. Now, here's Legal Talk with your host, Scott Whatley, and attorney Kevin Flesh.
Welcome to Legal Talk. My name is Scott Whatley, and we are glad you are with us. Our show is brought to you by Flesh and Beck Law. Their number, 303-806-8886. You can check out the website, fleshlawfirm.com. That's F-L-E-S-C-H, lawfirm.com. And it's always a joy to have our good friend Kevin Flesh in with us. Kevin, you've been a busy man lately.
Busy.
Wow, a lot of court stuff.
Yeah, we're really back at it, and it's good. It's been really good. It's been really interesting with the trial work that we've done. The thing that's interesting on the criminal side in particular is, especially in the county courts, there's a lot of young DAs that they've hired. And those DAs, although they may now have been out of school a couple of years, and normally a couple of years out of school in the DA's office, they will have tried a number of cases. A lot of them haven't because we haven't had jury trials. And so I'm teaching them some lessons,
right?
And it's, you know, it's an advantage for my clients right now because there are some prosecutors that are doing some really dumb stuff and trying really dumb cases, and so we've been getting some really good results. But I don't think once those lawyers recognize the mistakes that they've made previously, they'll probably make them again.
Sure.
But you know, it's one of those things where it's a practice of law for a reason, and we're seeing that in the district attorney's office right now. Not lack of preparation, not really understanding what they have to show the members of the community relating to proving crime, you know, criminal activity, and not understanding the rules of evidence, not understanding how you have to present evidence in a courtroom.
Right.
And you know, really good, really precise and repetitious objections sometimes get the other lawyer to just stop asking questions when they should try to figure it out. They just don't have the experience, and so they move on to another topic that's less dangerous for our clients. And so it ends up that we get some good results because the jurors, what we end up doing is we really end up minimizing the amount of evidence that the jurors get to consider. And in a criminal case, if they don't have evidence, you start at the presumption of innocence. So when we're able to do that, then that's the only thing they're really left with. And, and that's really helpful for our clients.
Right. We've been doing this show a number of years now, and of course you're on with John Rush some and as well. And we've always said trial tested, trial ready. So I want to kind of break that down. Then I want to kind of get into what all your firm can help our listeners with. But when we say trial tested, trial ready, what does that really mean for your clients?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was just talking about.
Yeah.
It's the fact is that we are always willing to go to trial if we don't think that what we're being offered in the context of both the personal injury cases that we have, so they're not offering what we think is fair value considering what a jury would award, and in the criminal context where they're offering a plea bargain that it may be really the worst case scenario for the client anyway.
Right.
And so what it ends up doing is giving us the opportunity to be in court and to try cases, and once you start trying cases, you learn stuff, and you learn how to do it more efficiently and just more effectively. And most people are really, they don't do it often enough, so they get rusty. They forget some skills that they had, and then they get really anxious, just like anybody else that does something infrequently.
Right.
You know, you just have a certain level of incompetence when it comes to doing it again. So it's like the old adage, you know, riding a bike. Once you learn how to ride a bike, you know, always ride a bike. It's a little different in trying cases because the case is always different and you always have different issues with regard to the evidence and how you're getting things in. And so if you don't do that particular thing on a regular basis, you're just not as effective.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, and when you see different lawyer ads and their taglines, we really took some time thinking about this because we think it's important for people to know we're compassionate. Mm-hmm. We care about people. We want to do everything. I mean, what lawyer doesn't? If they don't, then they shouldn't be practicing law. Because at the end of the day, the reason people, and I like helping people in this particular area of their lives that most people don't have any real understanding of. I mean, the client that calls me and acts like they're all-knowing, and that I had a client this morning that called me and said, first thing he said to me, my dad's a lawyer, a DUI lawyer in another state, and I have another family member that's a paralegal. And he had gotten the discovery, and he had sort of gone through it, and he sort of told me how to handle the case in his mind. And I said, well, why are you calling me? You know, because if you've got it figured out and you know what you're doing, then you should do it. Then you'd go take care of it. It's a do-it-yourself situation. He was like, no. I said, okay. So if that's not the case and there are things that you're concerned about, then let's have a conversation about that, because that is important for people to – once people start telling me how to do it's a red flag to me, because that means that they think they know what they're doing, and they may. And if they do, more power to them. Right. There's lots of people out there that will try to represent themselves. But even in a situation where I've been an allegation of malpractice or a criminal case or anything, I'm not going to do it myself, even though I think I'm perfectly capable, because there's a lot of other emotional components that people don't – I wouldn't – you know, if I'm being attacked monetarily for something that I think I didn't do wrong – I'm going to react to a case much differently and with probably more vengeance than I should in a case where I need to bring in a third party to say, well, let's look at this and let's pragmatically talk about what's taking place in their allegations, and then start talking about the possibility that, hey, you could have done something wrong. Mm-hmm. And then those risks with regard to 6 or 12 people making a decision whether you've done. So in all of that, what we're really trying to explain to people is that we do this enough so that we know there are risks, and we don't mind trying a case if it makes sense when you balance the risk versus reward.
Right. And let's talk a little bit about then what you feel. And I think you've just really described it, what sets you apart, because I think if you're advertising you care and you're compassionate, that, you know, again, that shouldn't be one thing you have to advertise, you know. But what do you think really sets your firm apart? Because I'll tell you what people tell us.
Yeah.
Man, they're panicked. First of all, if we're calling you, something's gone wrong in your life, whether it's a criminal side or whatever. And so, I mean, almost every person I've ever sent you, personal friends, whatever, they say, man, I walked in there with the heaviest burden, so to speak.
Right.
And I walked out feeling like he's going to take care of it. Okay. And man, that's huge.
It is. That's part of the counselor of law. And it's so important that people feel that way, because that's a huge part of the process. Mm-hmm. is I understand, and I wake up early morning hours worrying about cases, because some cases are worrisome. I mean, everybody, the first thing that people are anxious about is they don't know the process and they don't know what's going to happen. So that's the first thing. It's education, making sure that the person, we give these free consultations so that people understand the process and they understand what it is that they're looking at. Because some people know, some people are misguided about what it is that's going to happen. But both of those individuals, when they leave, now understand what it's going to be. And that's huge for them. So, but then the next part is sort of talking about what it is that they're looking at in the way of worst-case scenario. Because people, generally speaking, want to know that so that they either have a light at the end of the tunnel so that they understand what it is that could really happen.
Right.
But they also want to understand what the hope is for the resolution of the case. And we do, especially in both sides, both the civil and the criminal side, I've handled enough of these cases that I will tell them generally what I think will occur and give them a roadmap as to how we get there. And then they have to decide whether my roadmap is acceptable to them or not. Because what I don't want to do is get into a situation where we have that conversation and I implicitly promise an outcome that I can't reach.
Right.
And sometimes people want the outcome that I can't reach. And so then we have a discussion about why I'm probably not the right person for them, because I'm not going to be able to give them what they want. And a lot of times they're never going to get what they want.
Mm-hmm.
But there's definitely a conversation that we have, because that's really important. It's important in my life when I get anxious about things.
Sure.
And in other areas of my life, that I understand. I go to a professional that will tell me, this is what you have to worry about. And then, you know, then you know the elephant in the room, right? Mm-hmm. And then you know how to take care of that elephant.
Right.
One bite at a time.
One bite at a time, absolutely. All right, let's get into a couple of areas. You know, folks have heard you on the show, and they may have caught a criminal segment, they may have caught a personal injury, don't realize you help out with both. So let's kind of go through some of the things, and we can touch on the criminal areas first. Kind of run through just some of the type categories, I guess,
yeah,
of criminal law you help out with.
Yeah, absolutely. So we handle all courts in Colorado, both state courts and federal courts. So, you know, anything from your municipal court violation to DUIs and domestic violence cases, a lot of the cases that are in the county courts that people end up running into, shoplifting, all of those sorts of cases where, you know, the risk of going to county jail is probably pretty insignificant, but there's some risk there. And we're talking about anything with a year or less of county jail sort of situation. Then you get into the felony courts. Those are all the district courts in Colorado. Those are where the potential is going to prison. And that's sort of the dividing line between the two. Almost all of the cases that we have are generally cases where someone admits to something as we're going through the process, and they get probation, they get some sort of rehabilitation, and then they get the case resolved and they move on with their lives. Same thing with the federal courts. Those are more significant cases normally. There's more resources that have been put into them. The federal jurisdiction, I would say FBI and the other folks in the federal different agencies do, those are sort of the cream of the crop of the individuals who really do the investigations.
Mm-hmm.
They put more resources into those things. And so when you have a federal case, it's a federal case. It's a big deal. And so, but we help people with those as well. And so, you know, really any sort of criminal allegation, you know, the municipal courts, for example, we do a ton of municipal defense work. And those courts can be really quite scary for people, because those municipal court judges have a lot of discretion in fashioning a sentence, and it can include jail, and it can include a lot of jail depending upon the circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
And depending upon how that judge feels on any one given day. And so those are cases that people sometimes don't take very seriously, but they should, because I get a lot of calls where someone's been convicted and now they've got to go do 90 days in jail where they thought it was going to be a fine or a slap on the wrist of some sort, and it's not. And so all of those cases we handle throughout the state. And you know, for example, I had a case this morning where the fellow's like, well, it was a child abuse case. And he's like, oh, I'll just go in and take a plea. I'm like, you don't want a child abuse conviction on your record. I know that you don't seem to think it's a big deal in municipal court, but that follows you.
Mm.
And people consider it when renting an apartment or getting a job. And
sure.
I mean, there's all things that if it comes up on your criminal background check, you don't want to have to explain it the rest of your life,
mm-hmm.
even though you may never have to do much with it except maybe take a parenting class and not get any further violations of the law for the next year.
Right.
It's just stuff that people, they want to sort of slide through the system, and a lot of times that's just not a smart thing to do, because I get this case a lot too, where they've slid through the first conviction in their 20s, and now they're in their 50s, and they've got a second conviction of similar situation,
mm-hmm.
and now that 20s conviction is coming up in this, and they're using it against them because it's a similar situation, so it makes it look like it probably happened. And
right.
It's, again, mm-hmm. one of those things where you want to defend yourself every time whenever you have a criminal allegation, because they're important no matter where it is that you're dealing with the case.
Right. Kevin Flesh is with us. You're listening to Legal Talk. Once again, the phone number for Kevin is 303-806-8886. And we are just kind of going through some of the areas of criminal law that Kevin's firm can help you with. And Kevin, I think, you know, a lot of people hear white-collar crimes. What all does that mean?
Yeah, so white-collar crime, I mean,
how'd that get its white-collar?
Yeah, so it's generally economic. A lot of times, like Denver has its own economic crime unit. That's a white-collar crime. It's crimes dealing normally with money. And fraud. And generally speaking, it's people that aren't, you know, using physical force to get money. It's not a burglary. It's not a robbery. It's not where someone's threatening your life to get money. your $5. It's people using their brains and doing things to take money.
There are some people good at it, isn't there?
There are a lot of people that are really good at it. And those cases, generally speaking, are really complex because they're, you know, we had a lot of that when the whole fraud in the mortgage industry was going on. We saw a lot of those sorts of cases come up, and a lot of people who didn't realize that they were working for a business that was defrauding different mortgage companies because of their business practices got indicted as co-conspirators because they were involved in the mortgage lending process. You see it in, I've got several cases right now relating to contractors and having you know, not completing jobs, and then there's a white-collar crime or an economic crime component because they're saying that there's a pattern of them taking money and not doing all of the services. I've seen it in other situations where maybe there's a business that's getting paid for services that they're never actually rendering. So they may be doing, I had a case decades ago where the allegation was the individual was doing dentless repair work, getting paid for that dentless repair work, but not actually doing the repairs, that there really wasn't any problems with the vehicles,
right?
You know, out of DIA that they said we had dents in them when they didn't, and they were getting paid. So it's people coming up with ways to make money on things for not doing anything, and that's generally the individuals who are really bright, really smart, but then they get sort of off the rails somewhere along the line and are just trying to get money because they're greedy.
Sure.
I mean, that's what generally, I mean, you know, the Quest, the long time ago when we had Nacho and all of those things, that was a white-collar crime. When you think of those sorts of crimes, those are the crimes that you think of that are in the news where individuals, Ponzi schemes, you know, the Madoff sort of cases, same thing. Those are all the category of white-collar crimes.
Right. Now, juvenile crimes. Have you seen a rise in that from maybe 10 years ago to today or 5 years ago to today?
A little bit. I would say that certainly what I would say is the system is more aggressive in charging younger and younger people for things that are done in schools and other places, quite frankly, because of the advent of social media and the fact that kids are always willing to videotape crazy stuff that's going on. You know, back in the day when we were in high school and maybe you said to a other person that you were mad at, let's meet outside school and duke it out and then it would be done. Well, now it's all videotaped. Now somebody's got a phone and and that comes up on social media and then the authorities get involved because it's something that's a crime. Mm-hmm. You can't do it. And so we're seeing a lot of that. And a lot of things that people overshare, and they end up getting charged with crimes.
Right. Are we getting at a point where it looks like we are going to do less to put people in jail for some of these less minor crimes that what maybe has been a jailable offense, that we're going to get to a point where, you know, stealing a car or something, hey, we're going to put you
in probation. I think that Colorado in general is definitely – especially with COVID. First of all, we've gone through a period of time with COVID that because of the risk of people being hurt in custody by both the original COVID and the Delta variant, I think courts are taking that into consideration when fashioning sentences.
Gotcha.
So I think, the last few years, we've seen less people in jail because of that. Do I think it's going to continue? I think our community as a whole would say yes, because you look at the voting records and the people that are generally more liberal in sort of their voting also believe that there should be less people sitting in custody over things, especially drug crimes. And so I think in general, Colorado, the sentences are not as harsh as they would have been 10 or 15 years ago because it seems that the community is comfortable with that. It'll be interesting to see in the next 10 years if that changes, because we have a lot of property crimes right now that are dealing with a lot of, I would say, addiction and what people are doing trying to get drugs, that it turns out that they're getting things to pawn them or to sell them to other people or to pay for their habits, that I don't know if the rehabilitation is working as well as maybe sitting in jail for 6 months and then some rehab. So it'll be interesting to see what the system does with it. What I can tell you is that from the standpoint of sort of what we do in defending people, I have a really good ability, as long as the people listen to the advice I give relating to showing some real propensity to be willing to be rehabilitated in those cases where there's been significant crime. But at the same time, if you balance what's appropriate in a jail sentence versus rehabilitation, judges generally will find rehabilitation is the mm-hmm. appropriate route to begin with. And I would say, you know, most of the time it works. And when it doesn't work, then we've got prisons and we've sure. got places for people to go.
Right. Before we move on to the personal injury side a little bit and just kind of cover a few things there, you also do something, and I don't know what they're kind of general things were like. I mean, I've sent you people where they needed an agreement written up or,
yeah.
or they want you to review an agreement yep. and different things like that. So there's some general things that you can do to help people too. So kind of just take a minute and explain maybe what some of those would be.
Yeah. So it's lease agreements. It's you're in a business situation and you're partnering up with another person and you need, you know, you've got an agreement that they've put together to have you look at to make some decisions. It's really what it is a lot of times it's people having significant something changing in their lives, whether mm-hmm. it's real property or in their personal lives. And it's talking about thinking about, hey, if this goes sideways and it goes bad, what do you have prepared to exit out of this situation is really what I'm trying to educate people about. Because I've litigated a lot of the back end, what happens right. when it goes bad and you want to get out of the deal, and why do you want to get out of the deal, and how have you set it up so that you can extricate yourself from the situation. And so I'm really helpful for people to think about that. I mean, and it's as simple as you have a second home up in the mountains, and you normally run it through a management company to rent it out for the ski season.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? You've got a good friend, and their family wants to use it, and you'll use it with them, and you figure out the amount of time that they'll use it, and you use it. And rather than just a handshake, you put things in writing so that everybody understands what the
right.
rules are. And as much as that sounds like overkill, it's something that really needs to be done in our lives, especially when we have a relationship with someone.
Sure.
Because you don't want that relationship to be damaged down the road. I mean, I see it in law firms where a person has been working for the same group for years, and now they're going to become a partner. And rather than have a real drawn-out paper trail relating to what that relationship is going to look like, they do a handshake. Well, that handshake ends up being a problem 5 years later when mm-hmm. somebody's upset or somebody's leaving because they're going to the bench or whatever. And it's always those situations that you don't think about that you need to be thinking about.
Right.
And it's almost always the situation where it's a really good friend or it's a really good relationship that you think won't be severed by this new relationship that you're making. And it's almost always does.
Mm-hmm.
And it generally comes back to money.
Right.
So if you want to get the terms of the monetary issues taken care of, those are the things you've got to really consider when and that's where we can help.
Right.
And it's an hour or two of my time
sure.
to give you some guidance and say, listen, this is the things you really need to look out for mm-hmm. and things you need to think about. Simple provisions in a general contractor's agreement that maybe it's a one-sided prevailing attorney fee
mm-hmm.
provision where only the general contractor gets their attorney fees if there's a dispute. You know, why would you enter into that agreement
exactly.
if you don't know them and you're concerned about maybe a breach down the road, and you change three words and,
right.
and it makes thousands of dollars of difference down the road.
Sure. Once again, it is Flesh and Beck Law, and Kevin, when you really boil it down to just what all you do, I mean, man, you're just trying to protect people's rights. Because, I mean, I'm sure you've heard this, you know, how can you, you know, represent that guy or gal, you
yeah.
know, for what they did? But, I mean, it really is just where you're just, hey, everybody's got rights. No matter
yep.
what you have done, you still have rights.
Yeah, I mean, people ask me all the time, how can you defend people in criminal cases? And most of the time, all I'm doing is making sure the system is fair. You know, half the time the people come in and confess to me about what took place. And then we fashion a remedy to that and say, okay, how can we fix this? Because all of the clients I have, very few are bad people. They do
right.
bad things. I mean, there's things that they regret. There's things that they do that they realize, oh, I really should have handled this differently. and they're willing to learn something, because if they can, if they're willing to learn something and not do it again, those are the best clients, because I'm going to fix them. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to help them be better people when they get done with it, and it's going to be part of their story. So that's where we help people. Same thing with the personal injury cases. All I'm generally trying to do is get an injured party back to where they were just before the accident.
Right.
And it's, and in that case, it's money.
Sure.
And it's too bad. I wish there was another way they we could deal with it rather than just money, because money, mm-hmm. it's hard. People don't want to ask for it. People don't want to give it. It's just a difficult topic, but it is. It's what we have.
Sure. You know, interesting you just said that, because I've never thought about this. When somebody sits across from you and they're there where they did something on the criminal side, you do want to know if they did it.
So the way it goes, the conversation normally goes like this. What are they saying that you did? Then they kind of tell me. All right. So tell me from your perspective, what happened?
Okay.
And then I get to gauge whether or not they're being truthful with me or not. And I haven't gotten the discovery. I haven't gotten the evidence.
That's why you do a free consultation. Let me just bring that up real quick. That's why you do a free consultation, because mm-hmm. you want to say, hey, look, the only way we're going to get along here and this is going to be good is if I know what happened.
Absolutely. And quite frankly, as long as I can read the person, even if they're lying to me, that's fine too, because then I know from the outset, okay. I mean, I'm going to do everything that I can them, but we're going to figure this out. And I, you know, listen, DUI clients, especially ones that have had 3 or 4 or 5 convictions, I know they're going to come in almost universally and downplay the situation because they don't want to admit they've got a real problem. And so those individuals really need my help to really say to them, okay, you need to focus. Are you a faithful person? Because you're going to need faith in this situation. Do you have family? Will your family help you? Have you lost all of your family? Because that's another indication that they're just completely out of it, right? Because mm-hmm. their family has given up on them. Do you have friends that'll help you? And when I get to that person where the person is completely alone and they're sitting in my office and they don't have anywhere else to turn, then you have that real frank conversation. Do you want to change your life? Because if you don't, I can help you with a year in jail and you do the minimal probation and you're on your way. Or do you really want to make a change?
Right.
And if they want to make a change, I'm there to help them. And those are the exciting cases.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And real quick, we've mentioned this on previous shows, but in areas of personal injury, you know, slip and falls, any type of accident on the roadways, motorcycle,
yep.
plane, what I mean,
anything.
Whatever.
Yep.
Yeah,
we can help
you
people.
Can help them with. Mm-hmm. All right. It is Flesh and Beck Law, 303-806-8886. So, Kevin, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Give them a call, fleshlawfirm.com, FLESCHlawfirm.com. Thanks for joining us for Legal Talk. Hope you have a great rest of your day. Don't go anywhere. Dr. Ben coming up next on KLZ 560.
Call now for a free consultation with Flesh and Beck Law, 303-806-8886, 303-806-8886, or visit fleshlawfirm.com. That's FLESCH, fleshlawfirm.com. A proven team dedicated to your legal needs.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
Rates are low, but are you still paying too much interest? Why continue to pay most of your interest up front like a conventional loan when you can use the asset manager to save thousands in unnecessary interest costs? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. The asset manager is a simple interest loan, which means when your payoff decreases, your payment decreases, and so does your interest. Our clients are paying off their home in half the time. They're not changing their spending habits, and they have access to their equity for 30 years, even after it's paid off. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Think about it. This simple interest loan allows you to own your home faster, access your equity for 30 years, which means never having to refinance over and over and over again to pay off debts or for home improvements. No more requalifying, no more additional cost. Call 720-895-0500. Affordable Interest Mortgage, and see for yourself. You're in control, not the bank. NMLS 298191, regulated by DOR, Equal Credit Lender.
Hi, this is Chris Kane with 303roofer.com. If you're looking to put on a new roof because of hail, give us a call at 303-390-1382. will give you a cash price, which means you'll most likely get to keep some of your insurance money instead of giving it to us. It's your money, we know that, and we'll price the work accordingly. So give us a call today, 303-390-1382, or go to our website, 303roofer.com.
You're listening to KLZ 560 AM, your home station.
It's time for the Functional Medicine Show with Dr. Ben, brought to you by the Functional Medicine Center of Fort Collins. Dr. Ben is committed to helping patients find the root cause of their health problems. Increase your vitality to live your fullest life without drugs and surgery.
And good afternoon and welcome to the Functional Medicine Show with Dr. Ben Galliard, the show where you get healthy answers to all your health questions. I'm your host, Andy Pate, and we're brought to you by the Functional Medicine Centers of Fort Collins and soon to be Denver. Dr. Ben, how are you?
Hey, doing great. A little snowy, little icy up here in northern Colorado. How are things down there?
They were the same. In fact, last night, I'm telling you what, it seemed like every sidewalk was glare ice. It was awful. It was really slippery.
Absolutely. Well, let's get into talking about how people. I was thinking about this morning. You know, we are doing one of two things when we're talking about, you know, our overall physiology, health, everything. We are either going towards wellness or we're going towards illness. You can't just be status quo. You're never, and this is something I really want you guys out there to think about. You know, we do this in our office. We walk around and we go, I'm looking at one of my walls right now, and there's a little chip on the paint from one of the chairs. And I'm like, is that adding value or taking away value? And so we'll look around and, you know, there's scuffs here. You need to replace that chair, whatever it is, you know. But nothing is just like, okay, it's okay. You know, same thing in your health. Nothing is just, all right, well, I'm doing the same thing I was 5 years ago and I'm probably okay. You're either improving and working on getting better and getting that body better, or you're going the other way and you're going towards illness.
It's forward or retreat on your health at all times. I guess that makes sense because, first of all, we're all aging every moment. Yep. And so if we take, say, a few weeks off from the diet, a few weeks off from the gym, a few weeks off from doing what we're, you know, going to do to be healthy, we're actually going backwards.
Absolutely. And that, you know, especially as we age. So my guess is that we probably don't have a lot of 20 year olds on the call today. You know, just the demographics of the radio show, they're probably mostly over 35, over 40, things like that. And get this, what the research shows is that every decade as you age, you're losing upwards of 7% of your muscle mass, especially after age 40. And so what does that mean? Well, if you just...
Oh, wait. Folks, we just lost Dr. Ben. He will be back shortly. Charlie's calling him right now. Really quick here, just a reminder, we're talking to Dr. Ben Galliard, Functional Medicine Centers of Fort Collins. Their phone number is 970-282-1173, or you can find them at f8wellcenters.com. And also, guys, before Dr. Ben comes back here, I want to recommend go on Facebook, go to f8wellcenters.com. I mean, just F8 Well Centers on Facebook, and you are going to see some of the best videos. And he just goes, Dr. Ben goes through every kind of issue that you could possibly hit. But here's the big thing. They're fun to watch, and you're going to enjoy them. Dr. Ben, are you back with us?
Yes. So I was saying, sorry about that.
That's okay.
I think the weather's cutting into some things here. So what we're looking at is we're losing 7% of our muscle mass every decade. So
right.
Whether you're just, you know, you're working out or not working out, you're going down 7%. So you've got to gain 7% just to maintain where you are. And so that's a really important concept, and just your health in general. You've got to be moving your feet forward as you age just to maintain, let alone do you actually want to be bigger and stronger and faster and healthier and whatever else you're striving for. You've got to even go above and beyond just, hey, I'm working out every day. You've got to do way better than that.
Well, that makes sense because when you look at the world of athletics and you see these guys like Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, and I understand they're quarterbacks, they're not running routes out there as wide receivers, but still, they got to be really fit. It really amazes us when a guy who's only 40 can still compete. And that really shows you how fast the muscle can go.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, you look even the greatest ever, Jerry Rice, you know, he went and played in the Raiders and some different things. And, you know, he was a shell of who he was in San Francisco, you know, even in the mid 30s. And so, you know, these are some of the most highly trained athletes in the world. And still their bodies start slowing down, start fading, a lot of these things. So, but then you do look at somebody like Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, and here's the thing with Aaron Rodgers, I love to talk about. His dad actually is a chiropractor, and so he grew up with this thought process of more of a holistic lifestyle and healthier eating, and that's even why, you know, he ended up not getting vaccinated for COVID and all those things. You know, he's looking at his body and saying, you know what, I feel good where I'm at. I'm going to be able to handle this. I'm healthy. I'm eating. He's got personal chef, I'm sure, and is, you know, measuring out to each macro that he needs and exercising like he needs to, all those things. And he did fine. His body did fine getting through COVID.
You know, as a Packer fan, because I am one, I've got the big Packer coat and all this kind of stuff. Let me give you a little insight on Aaron also. I'm sure he has a personal chef. They all do, just because of time for these stars. He is also a big-time cook himself. And he does all kinds of – yes, he does all kinds of, you know, mixing and measuring health and all this. This is why when he got in trouble with the league over not wanting to take the vaccine because he does, you know, other treatments, it was kind of interesting because he came out and he was basically lecturing them and saying, look, guys, this is all I do in my life. I measure everything I do. He does all kinds of natural, you know, alternatives to most medicine. He's not against medicine. He's all for it. But he generally likes to keep it natural, and he is very strict on that.
Yeah, absolutely. And he wouldn't still be playing. You know, and I think that's the difference with going back to the Packers. Brett Favre, you know, he probably didn't quite do as much, and he was on all the pain meds and all that stuff. And you could see, you know, the end of his career, he really, really dropped. And, you know, he didn't age as gracefully as some of these quarterbacks are now, because I guarantee he did not take care of himself as well as Tom or Aaron Rodgers do.
Well, Dr. Ben, I guarantee you everybody who's listening right now has one thing in common. They are aging. Okay, I'm pretty sure. Nobody.
If they're alive.
Yes. It's a good thing. By the way, if you're aging right now, that's great. That's great versus the alternative. Tell me this. Why do we lose it? Now, I understand everything as it ages just is going to lose its virility, its strength, its speed, and so forth. But are there other things we do, let's say, with the American diet, with the American lifestyle, that hasten that make it worse?
Absolutely. I was just looking at a study about this that just came out. They were looking for a lot of people. They're like, oh, I hit 40. There goes my metabolism. I'm starting to gain weight. And they looked at metabolic rate of people all the way from little kids all the way up in their 60s, 70s, 80s. And what they found was that just straight age, the metabolic rate doesn't go down till about 60.
Really?
And then at 60, it'll drop, you know, 5-10% each decade after that. But until you're 60, you cannot, I don't want to hear a single one of you people that are under 60 say, well, I'm just getting older, that's why I'm losing, I can't lose weight, or I'm gaining weight because I'm getting older. If you are not 60 years old, do not come complaining. It is a you thing, not a age thing. So what does that mean? Well, what happens when people, they have kids, they get a job, they go and sit at their desk and they're an insurance salesman or whatever, and 95% of their day is spent sitting. We talked about this a couple weeks ago where you cannot out-exercise a sedentary day. You can't go and say, oh, I did 30 minutes, 60 minutes, whatever it is, on the treadmill or on the bike or whatever. You cannot out-exercise a sedentary lifestyle. So it's really about that slow metabolism, that gaining weight. It's about, you know, the lady at the DMV that you're talking to that's overweight and getting your driver's license or your car registered or whatever. And, you know, she sits 10 hours a day and then drives in the car and then watches TV at night. And, okay, maybe she goes for a walk for 30 minutes, maybe even over lunchtime or maybe even at the end of the day or whatever, maybe four or five days a week. That is not enough. And so this is why we talk to patients all the time about, you know, if you are at a desk, you have got to have the ability to stand up and at least half of your day be standing. You know, right now I'm pacing. This is what I do on every one of our calls. You know, last week I was outside when it was nice enough, but right now I'm in one of my rooms and I'm pacing and, you know, just getting a few more steps in, getting some movement. You know, when I'm talking to patients, when I'm on Zoom, we talk to patients all over the country, all over the world. Talked to a lady in Honduras yesterday, and I'm standing. I've got it's a bar, but it's basically my standing desk. And so, you know, I'll do some squats in there. I'll march in place. I've learned how to march in place without my head really moving. So you can't tell that, I'm bobbing up and down there. So you've got to get that movement. You've got to get your body moving every single day and not just if you go for a walk or go to the gym.
Well, it sounds like it has to be every single hour too. I mean, just a little bit of history here. America, Western civilization really was very agrarian and everybody was very, very active all the time because they were on the farm. And then we changed and we took basically men at the time and put them into boxes called factories for 14 hours a day and stuffed them in there. But even in those factories, Dr. Ben, they were very active. They were moving around. They were very, absolutely. They were doing muscular things with their body, with their arms, with their legs. And now we are sitting at a desk. I mean, absolutely. Is this totally, so is a lot of what we're seeing, and by the way, I'm 58. So in 2 years, I totally have the excuse locked down. Yeah, I'm already ready with
start complaining all you want.
I'm going to tell my wife, I'm just going to, honey, I'm 60. I'm sorry. That's why it is. That's my excuse. But is Western Civ sitting us at a desk and slowing us down?
Well, you know, just to put this in perspective, over the last 50 years, men have lost about 1% of their testosterone per year. We're down 50% from where our testosterone as men in the United States were 50 years ago. So I had a post on Facebook. I heard you talking about that when I jumped back on. So jump on our Facebook page. Lots of information. Lots of good articles, videos, all kinds of stuff. But I put one up that men's testosterone has gone down 50%. Does that mean we're half the man we used to be? And somebody like, oh, so you're saying because somebody has low testosterone, they're not that much of a man? I'm like, well, you know, you look at that guy that's swimming for Penn University as a female. You know, you're like, well, all he had to do is just get his testosterone down low enough, and now he's a female. So, I mean, yes, absolutely. If we are less testosterone, you know, especially in that thought process, we are way closer to being a female than a strong, vibrant male. So it is a big part of it is the inactivity that will do that. Plus, you know, there's plastics and estrogen. There's all these other things, metabolic syndrome, where people actually start converting their testosterone over to estrogen and they can get man boobs and hot flashes and all these different things. So there's
hot
a lot
flashes?
Of going on.
Wait, whoa. Yeah. Hot flashes? You're kidding me. Serious? Wow, I didn't know that.
We call them sweating episodes for guys because a guy's not going to admit that they're having a hot flash. So, I've seen guys come in that their estrogen is that of a menstruating female because they're on testosterone replacement therapy, and they're not monitoring the estrogens and not dealing with that it's already low testosterone because they're spilling over into that estrogen. I don't know if this radio station ever did those ads, but I know some of the sports talk ones and everything, they were all about the low T centers and all of
right,
that.
Right, yeah, I've heard those.
And remember hearing those. But, you know, they messed up a lot of people. You don't really hear those ads anymore because people – these guys would go in, they'd get their testosterone pellet, they wouldn't figure out why it's low in the first place, and most of them, it was because their blood sugar was out of balance, their liver was not detoxifying the hormones like they're supposed to, and they were over-converting into estrogen, and then they start getting having to wear a man's ear, like in Seinfeld, and then getting, you know, potentially hot flashes. They've got some guys, it gets so bad that they can actually start lactating.
Oh, my gosh. I had no idea. Hey, folks, we're talking to Dr. Yeah. Ben Galliard, Functional Medicine Centers of Fort Collins and soon to be Denver. Phone number 970-282-1173, or you can find them at f8wellcenters.com or f8wellcenters on Facebook. Okay, let's talk a little bit more about this, because you said, has it been pretty steady, like 1% a year? I know it hasn't been exact, but decade by decade, it's been dropping about 10% a decade.
Yeah, exactly. And if you're, you know, if you're 58 out there, you can see it. You know, when you were a kid, and if you grew up in, you know, out in Fort Morgan or Brighton or whatever, and, you know, got kids were going to high school and they'd have their shotgun in the back of their truck, and, you know, and people would be out bucking hay in the summer,
right,
and mowing lawns. And, you know, I grew up in Nebraska, so the kids would go out and they would do the detasseling of the corn, and, you know, and it was just, you know, that's what you do. Now, you know, we hear all the time from older patients that are, I hurt myself while I was shoveling or mowing or whatever. I'm like, you're 82 years old. What are you doing that for? Get, you know, hire the kid down the street. I'm like, nobody will do it. You know, we make it too easy on our kids. They don't need to go out and get a job. They don't need to go work, whatever. And so, you know, it's gotten to this point where, you know, work is almost a bad word. You know, that we bought a little farm, 2.5 acre farm, a bunch of years ago, and we were there for about 6 years. Had alpacas and horses and goats and turkeys and chicken, all this stuff. And what did every single person say that we talked to and they saw it or thought about? You go, oh, that's going to be a lot of work, isn't it?
It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
<That's okay. laughs>
It is a lot of work. Well, let me ask you this. I mean, is this something where we're not born into it. Men aren't being born with less testosterone now. So are you saying that the American lifestyle is simply killing it at a faster rate over every decade?
Absolutely. You know, and I wish it was just something like, oh, your underwear's too tight, or, you know, one of those little myths that you hear about. But no, that's not it. It's a cumulative effect. A big part of it is the metabolic syndrome. If somebody's blood sugar is going up too high, so here's the deal. If your triglycerides are high, if your cholesterol is high, if you're pre-diabetic, if you have high C-reactive protein and inflammatory markers, if you have high iron, any of these markers that we look at, I almost guarantee your testosterone is going to be low. And it's that connected. There is a huge part of low testosterone and the metabolic side.
Okay, so we've known this all along, that when people come to functional medicine centers and they go through your testing, and, you know, the testing doesn't take long, and then you put them on the chart to better living, they lose weight, quite honestly. A lot of them lose a lot of weight really fast if they need to. It's just the way it goes, because you balance out their blood sugar, but you also find any other issues that they might have. If somebody comes into functional medicine centers, how are you going to affect their testosterone, like you're just saying right now? Because you're right, a lot of people went to those centers, got a pill, and did damage.
Yeah, so I'm going to go Rocky Mountain National Park tomorrow, go snowshoeing with a buddy of mine, and if we walk by a pond or a little lake or whatever, think about that lake as the testosterone, this pool of testosterone.
Okay.
And you've got this stream coming out of it, and then you've got a little stream coming into it. Maybe there's a beaver dam or whatever it is that's holding that water in that lake. So we've got both sides that are going to affect that pool of testosterone. One is going to be what's going into the lake and building up that testosterone. And then two is going to be spilling out, and that's what spills over into that estrogen. So if we're spilling too much out of the lake, we're going to have a low volume in that testosterone pool. So if we're spilling out too much, that goes into estrogen. That's primarily from that metabolic syndrome, so stabilizing blood sugar, all those things. There are some supplements that can be helpful for blocking that conversion. But if you're not fixing your blood sugar, it doesn't really matter. So we've got to stabilize that blood sugar, help the liver detoxify, a lot of different things, and you're going to be able to hold more of that testosterone in that pool. And then on the other side, you've got the production of it. And so why would we want to produce more testosterone as a male? Well, you're working out, you're being active, you're picking up boxes all day, UPS driver. Go ahead.
Really quick here, I thought that you were able to do those things more because you had more testosterone. I didn't know that actual activity, lifting, moving, running, and all this kind of stuff was actually helping produce more.
Absolutely. Our body is all about feedback, feedback, reward, feedback, reward, feedback, reward. And so what we're looking at is right now we have this feedback of, well, what am I going to do today? Sit at a desk. Okay, do you think you need to pick anything up? Well, that coffee and then maybe a 12-ounce beer later.
Yeah.
Okay,
12-ounce curls.
What testosterone do you need? Yeah, not a whole lot. Okay, well, great. Then why would we make extra of something if we're not going to need it? So the body is like, okay, well, great. We can conserve energy, and we don't need to make extra hormones and do all this stuff. Versus, you know what? What are we going to do today? I don't know, but it might involve bucking 200 bales of hay up into the barn. It might involve breaking a horse. It might involve running a race or whatever. It's like, well, we better have a little reserve on hand, right?
Yeah, I would think so. Well, Dr. Ben, I know a lot of people come to functional medicine. Do you see guys, first of all, come in, they're taking these tribulus pills and so forth, which is fine, the supplements, but they're doing nothing with their blood sugar, and so they're getting nothing out of it. Do you see a lot of that?
Absolutely. So here's the thing. They will get higher testosterone, guaranteed. I've seen people. We had two guys this last month. One was at 3,000, the other was at 2,400. A good range is like 600.
Okay.
Maybe 700.
Wow.
And one was at 3,000, and the other was at 2,400. So it'll change it. It'll make it go up high. But the other effects, the other damaging things that come into play from having that excess testosterone spill into estrogen and other systems is very, very damaging. So, testosterone replacement therapy works for getting testosterone up, but it does nothing to fix why it's out of balance, and it does nothing to fix the damage that's going to be going down this pathway into estrogens and other areas.
Well, here's another question I have. If you have testosterone, therapy or whatever, you take the stuff and you have it pumped in, does your body say, now I'm going to make even less of it because I don't have to make it?
Absolutely. So we have feedback loops, and these feedback loops are going to get over and over and over. They're going to say, okay, we don't need it, so don't make as much. We don't need it, don't make as much. That's one of the problems with just slapping somebody on a thyroid medication, is that over time, their body starts producing less of that thyroid support.
I would think that right now, maybe you're really touching on, we got just about 3 minutes here, Dr. Ben, on a big reason why Americans are just getting less healthy. We're so medicated. We are. We have so many supplements, and I'm not against supplements. I think they can be great. But we have so many supplements, medications, and everything that basically takes the place of everything our body is supposed to be doing, and we're training our body not to do it. Am I making any sense here?
Absolutely. And so, I always say you can't out-supplement a poor diet. You can't out out-exercise a poor diet. You can't out-medication, you know, poor diet, any of these things. So what we have going on is a kind of universal problem in somebody's world, and they're not active enough, and then they skip meals, and then when they do eat meals, they eat things that are going to make that blood sugar go up, and then when they exercise, it's either not frequent enough, or they even over exercise at certain times, and it's just every single aspect of people's lives is not working like they're supposed to. They're not sleeping like they need to. They're stressing more than they're supposed to. Their relationships aren't good. And so it's this multifaceted thing. All of these prongs are sticking out, and that meter is going towards illness and not wellness. And that's the big, big problem that we're seeing.
It sounds to me like at functional medicine, what you do is this. People come in, they've been supplementing to a detriment, supplement to a detriment, supplement to a detriment, and they've got the cycle going. You measure everything, and then you break the cycle. You set them on the right path, and guess what? Their body is going to be doing and creating everything they needed all along.
Yep, exactly. And so here's the process. Doesn't matter if somebody comes into the office or if you're out of area and we do things remotely. Again, we are going to be opening up. We've got a open date the second week, the Valentine's week in February.
Oh, that's fitting.
In Highlands Ranch, yes. So get some heart health going there. So we're excited. We've got our team in place. Everything's ready to go. We're going to be cranking down there. We'll be starting to schedule new patient appointments there. Even by next week, we'll be scheduling those. We'll have our calendar, everything ready to go. So, you know, if you've been listening to us for a while, you've been wanting to take action, but have made the excuse of, well, I'm not going to drive all the way up to Fort Collins, or it's too far, whatever. You know, we're only about 35 minutes from Colorado Springs. No traffic, but you know, it's where the office is, so we can help people in that Denver and South area. You know, get their lives back, and we're going to do a brain map. We're going to do an intense blood work, just looking at lots of different markers. Put it all together, come up with a game plan, and let you know one. Can we help you? Can we get your life back? And then number two, what is that process going to look like?
Bottom line, Dr. Ben, they come to you now. How are they going to feel this summer?
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, like we always guarantee, you'll be in your bikini and have the – well, maybe not, but
– No, thanks. But go ahead.
What we can guarantee you is that you're going to be way healthier than when you started. Your energy is going to be better. Your digestion is going to be better. Your brain's going to be better. So many things are going to change, and you have that healing potential inside of you.
Fantastic. Dr. Ben Galliard, thank you so much for joining us today.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Be well out there.
See you next week. Okay, folks, you've been listening to the Functional Medicine Show with Dr. Ben Galliard, brought to you by Functional Medicine Centers of Fort Collins, Nashville, and soon to be Denver. I'm Andy Pate. Until next Thursday, be informed, be wise, and be focused on a healthier tomorrow. Take care.
Thank you for joining us for the Functional Medicine Show with Dr. Ben. Contact the Functional Medicine Center of Fort Collins now by visiting functionalmedicinefortcollins.com or call 970-716-0079. Join Dr. Ben next time right here on KLZ.
The health advice and opinions on this broadcast are those of the host and guests, and do not necessarily represent the views of this station, Crawford Broadcasting Company, its staff, management, or sponsors.